One issue raised by some of the notorious corporate collapses of the past few months is whether accounting rules permit companies to overstate their earnings. That's why the reporting of stock option costs as expenses has been such an important cause to, among others, Alan Greenspan. Well, now Standard & Poor's has addressed the problem of how corporate earnings are measured. The credit rating agency has decided to take the lead and calculate what it calls core earnings of all the major American corporations. David Weiss, the chief economist of S&P, is on the phone. And David Weiss, we are way over my head in accounting knowledge right now, so let's begin with this question. If a company says it made a profit or had earnings of $100 million last year, does everybody know what that means, or is it like beauty in the eye of the beholder?
Well, there are so many different definitions of profits sitting around there that it's very hard for the average investor to figure out what they mean by any particular number. What we call as-reported earnings are the ones that are required for them to report. Those are fairly straightforward. But then companies have defined various pro forma earnings, operating earnings. We counted one annual report last year that had seven different definitions of pro forma or operating earnings in it. At that point, we decided we better get a definition that makes some sense.
So you've come up with core earnings. How do a company's core earnings differ from what they might state as their earnings?
The concept of core earnings is this is the profitability of the core business the firm is engaged in. And it differs in three major reasons and a fair number of minor ones. First of all, one-time charges have to be one-time charges. You can't take one-time charges every quarter and call them one-time charges. So only real discontinued operations can be included. Secondly, options are part of compensation. You're paying your workers something. They do cost something to the shareholder. And number three, we exclude the earnings of pension funds because you're not in the business of trying to make money on your pension investments. That's not part of your game. That's not part of your core business unless you're an investment bank.
I mean, if you do that and the markets just happen to be great that year, then you get an added bonus because you show that as part of your earnings if you include that.
Right, yeah. If the stock market goes up, great. Then, yeah, you make a lot of money in your pension plan and you look very profitable, even if you lost money in your core business.
So what you're doing is you're taking your criteria for core earnings, asking the companies to give you the numbers, and you're plugging them into your formula and coming up with this new bottom line.
Yeah, we, of course, have the numbers to start with. We're doing the calculation, but then giving it back to the company and allowing them to comment on it, say where we got things wrong, that this was really a one-time charge, etc. So there's some back and forth here.
Well, when Wall Street is then looked at through this prism of core earnings, how different is the typical bottom line for an S&P 500 company, say, when measured by core earnings as opposed to the way earnings are now measured?
Well, needless to say, the earnings are lower, mainly because we're excluding the pension fund profits and we're taking away the options costs. For most companies, the difference isn't major, but it still adds up to somewhere between 5 and 10% for the average company in the S&P 500.
What sort of company would see its earnings most radically downgraded by this core earnings measurement?
Well, generally, the companies that are most affected are the high-tech companies that have had a lot of stock options outstanding. They're not necessarily bad companies. I think a lot of them are good companies, but companies such as Cisco, for example, have had a lot of options cashed in. For companies like that, in many cases, this is the difference between making a profit and making a loss.
What have you been hearing from the companies as you've done this? One argument is that corporations would be more willing to see some different way of expressing, say, the cost of stock option grants if all of them had to do it at the same time. Your approach is actually doing it for all of them at the same time.
That's right. And a lot of companies like it, not necessarily for public consumption. We've got a lot of companies who object to it, but in practice they say, look, if everybody has to do this, we're happy as long as people have some confidence that the bottom line is the bottom line again. There are some companies, particularly those with heavy stock options, who don't like this method of calculation. As far as I'm concerned, that's their problem, not ours.
Well, David Weiss, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
David Weiss is chief economist at the credit rating agency Standard & Poor's in New York City. The firm expects to complete its calculation of core earnings for the companies in the S&P 500 by Labor Day.